Be seated. Just don't dismiss yourselves yet, just yet. We have a little bit more. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now, after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Seraiah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shallum, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Meraioth, the son of Zerahiah, the son of Uzi, the son of Buki, the son of Abishua, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. This Ezra went up from Babylon. And he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given, and the king granted him all his request according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And there went up some of the children of Israel, and of the priests, and the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the Nethinims, unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Now, this is the copy of the letter that the king Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra, the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel. Artaxerxes, king of kings, unto Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of the God of heaven, perfect peace, and at such a time. I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee. For as much as thou art sent of the king and of his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem according to the law of thy God which is in thine hand, and to carry the silver and gold which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto the God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem. And all the silver and gold that thou canst find in all the province of Babylon, with the freewill offering of the people and of the priests offering willingly for the house of their God, which is in Jerusalem, that thou mayest buy speedily with this money bullocks, rams, lambs, with their meat offerings and their drink offerings, and offer them upon the altar of the house of your God, which is in Jerusalem. And whatsoever shall seem good to thee and to thy brethren to do with the rest of the silver and the gold, that do after the will of your God. The vessels also that are given thee for the service of the house of thy God, those deliver thou before the God of Jerusalem. And whatsoever more shall be needful for the house of thy God, which thou shalt have occasion to bestow, bestow it out of the king's treasure house. And I, even I, Artaxerxes the king, do make a decree to all the treasurers which are beyond the river, that whatsoever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heavens, the God of heaven shall require of you, it be done speedily, unto 100 talents of silver, and to 100 measures of wheat, and to 100 baths of wine, and to 100 baths of oil and salt, without prescribing how much. Whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be done, let it be diligently done for the house of God, of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? Also, we certify you that, touching any of the priests and Levites, singers, porters, Nethinims, or ministers of this house of God, it shall not be lawful to impose toll, tribute, or custom upon them. And thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God, that that is in thine hand. Set magistrates and judges, which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of thy God, and teach them, teach ye them that know them not. And whatsoever and whosoever will not do the law of thy God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death, or to banishment, or to confiscation of goods, or to imprisonment. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem, and hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened, as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me, and I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, the chapter is very straightforward. There's not a lot that we need to hear by way of clarification. Perhaps at the beginning, we're some 10 to 15 years behind the other wave of captives that returned under Haggai and Zechariah, Zerubbabel and Joshua. So this is even farther beyond that. There is one king in the ancient annals that is not mentioned here between Darius and Artaxerxes, and his name is simply Xerxes. Artaxerxes would be a prefix. Remember, we learned last week that these terms, Ahasuerus, Artaxerxes, and so on, these are titles and not really the names of the kings themselves, sort of like Pharaoh. Okay? So there was a king in between, but now Ezra himself is going back. And note here that we change temporally the situation. We fast forward about between 10 and 15 years. I should have looked it up before I came into the pulpit, but I didn't. But I'm remembering in my prior studies, somewhere between 10 and 15 years, between that wave of captives that are now going back and the wave in the days of Joshua and Zerubbabel. Okay, so we have a new king, and note that he is standing in the same stream of the kings from before, Cyrus and Darius, that he desires that there should not be wrath against his realm, that he has learned also to curry favor from the God of heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Ezra. Well, this is something that we long for in our day, that it would be not some nondescript God of our constitution, right, which God, almost any stripe of religion could get behind, but indeed none other than the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we don't have that. I know that there are a lot of folks that want to say that we do, but we do not in our country at this time. Doesn't mean it's impossible. All things are possible with God. Who would have thought that three Persian kings set over about 40 or 50 years, that these three Persian kings would all contribute to the building of the house of God in Jerusalem out of their own stock and store, and refusing tax, toll, and tribute from those that are under their realm so that they could give to the building of that house instead. So we learn some magnificent things here. We learn, first of all, that civil authority and ecclesiastical movements are not incompatible with one another. This absolute separation of church and state is a figment of the imagination. Beloved, let us remember that every government is in some sense or other religious. It must be so. Whenever a government tells you this is right and this is wrong, they are making a statement of ethics and morality, which is a religious statement. This is a sin and this is not. This is upright and this is not. All these things are religious in their character. It will always be someone's foundation that these things are set on. We want them set upon the foundation of Christ and his word. So now we move from that to characters themselves. We learn something about Ezra here. We learn about Ezra that he is not only a ready scribe in the law of God, That is, that he is someone who is familiar, a copyist of the works, the inspired works of the Old Testament. Not only that, but that he is a descendant of Aaron, not just of Levi, but of Aaron. He is of Aaronic descent. And so he has a particular priestly concern for everything being done in the house of God according to its proper order. And he has a prophetic concern as a scribe in the law of God that it be done according to the order. And when we read through this chapter, we see that that is exactly what he did. We hear of all of the different classes of those who labored in the temple according to the command of Moses and David. And we hear Ezra putting those things into practice in his day, getting them ready, preparing them for their travels to come to Jerusalem to take their place in the worship of God. The bulk of this chapter, however, is taken up by the decree of the king. That begins in 11 and ends in verse 26. And so by the force of law and by the force of legal punishment, just like before, just like Darius, Artaxerxes will assert his royal authority for the building up of the house in Jerusalem. All right, so now we have Ezra's blessing at the end of the chapter. And what does he say? Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. I had in my notes, and I want to make sure that I mention this. Where did all of this knowledge come from in Cyrus and in Darius and in Artaxerxes? It came from none other than the labors of a man such as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and those who came behind them in that next generation of counselors to the kings of the Medes and Persians, that they should know of the God of heaven from those wise members of their own court. And beloved, this brings us to a particular doctrine that is prevalent in some strains of Presbyterianism that I want to talk to you about. We do not say of Joseph, "Oh, Joseph, you shouldn't have been serving in the house of Pharaoh because it wasn't a Christian nation." We don't say to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Oh, you should not serve in that dirty old Babylonian court. Don't you know they're heathen men and their government cursed by God?" Well, because of the labors of Joseph, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and others like them, King Cyrus, King Darius, and King Artaxerxes all wanted the favor of the true God of heaven and provided out of their own stock and store and legal authority for the establishment of his religion where he, the Lord, wanted to be put down, and that would be in Jerusalem, in his particular city. So, beloved, these things are not incompatible at all. Church and state, while they are separate governments, they are coordinate governments, or at least they ought to be coordinate governments. And we see the blessing of that here in Ezra chapter 7. With that, then, let's continue praising God in the singing of psalms.